Hi, and good afternoon or good morning, everyone, wherever and whenever you are listening to us. This is Kyle Moody with American IRA, and we thank you so much for joining us on another edition of our podcast with the IRA Cafe. I can't tell you enough how much I am looking forward to introducing our newest guest with you today. This is going to be bringing a different dynamic, I believe, than what guests we've had in the past. And I think that everyone really of all ages is going to get a lot of great information, maybe hear things that they need to hear things for the first time. And even if someone is just sharpening the saw, I think it's going to be great to maybe get some things from a different perspective. So we are really looking forward to that. American IRA, thanks you for being here today. As you know, American IRA, we specialize in self-directed IRAs and solo 401ks. It's the ability for you to be able to take your retirement dollars, move those into your own new account, and use that money to invest in real estate. Or in private lending or in private placements. And headquartered in Asheville, North Carolina, it's always great to bring in the new guest. And our guest today is also from Asheville. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to everyone today, Kaya Ebert. And Kaya is part of a real estate partnership where they focus on vacation rentals. So Kaya, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Absolutely. Kyle, thank you. Really grateful to be on the podcast. And just want to say, first off, apologies. I jumped out of a project and ran to a coffee shop. Should have probably taken this home, but behind me is not a green screen. So this is actual real forest. And if there's any traffic, just first off, apologies.
You know, and let me go ahead and coattail on that. I will tell everyone, Kaya is in my old stomping grounds of Asheville, North Carolina. So pretty much no matter where you are, that's going to be the backdrop right there. If there's any traffic that you hear, I haven't been able to hear it on the pre-production yet, but it's awesome. Always a welcome sight to see the greenery back there. And for anybody who knows what Asheville has gone through in the past 11 months post-Helene, it's always great for folks to be able to get outside, have a smile on their face. And so, you know, one of the things I will also say about this is that this picture is quite representative. You see me in a home office, home studio right now. But if you want to see what the new face of investment business is and where it can take you, is folks, this is a powerhouse business professional right now who is killing it in real estate with his investment investing business, and that is his office. Okay, so if you want to learn how you can set up a new business, a new way of thinking, then this is going to be great for you today. And if you're tired of the box, maybe a couple windows, maybe no windows, you can get someone somewhere like Kaya right now. He doesn't have any windows either, and that's it. So choose your background, right? So, you know, let's go ahead and jump into that. Kyle, you are 22 years old, and this is really a great time for you to come on, because in my line of work, when I'm talking to folks, what I hear is from them, I will approach them and be serious about talking to them about their retirement future, about how they can use their self-directed dollars to invest in real estate. And then the conversation takes off from there. But it'll get really maybe short with them when they say, you know, actually, I can't even talk about this yet. I mean, I've got a long time till I retire. I can't do anything like this yet. I'm only in my 20s. And so I'm really excited for you to bring your message today on why that's really not the case.
I mean, yeah. So, you know, I'm 22 years old, but I've been in real estate for probably about 3 going on 4 years now. I initially wanted to be a professional athlete. I played soccer in Europe and South America. And when I wasn't able to kind of stick there as a professional player, I came back. I got started by basically when I came back to the States, a player or a friend of mine that I grew up playing soccer with, him and his mom were pretty much in the real estate / vacation rental space. And so I started basically going to their properties, cleaning, you know, learning, you know, supplies and how to clean the properties and perform maintenance. and they actually had purchased a home, and it needed serious renovations. So like floors, bathrooms, kitchens, you know, new roof, exterior paint, interior paint, like literally everything a house could possibly need. And so I pretty much just dropped everything. I worked entirely for free. And I slept in that renovation, with Aiden, my, you know, friend, now business partner, and basically just learned everything I possibly could about a house. And so that was kind of how I started the real estate game. I was probably 18 or 19. At that time, I think I was a senior in high school, but I was in that summer, like where I would have gone to college. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I'm 22 now, but I mean, it took me a year to get my first property, and that property wasn't even a property I owned. It was a property I leased, and I still lease, and sublease as a vacation rental. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of like my origin story behind, you know, how I was able to start so young. I didn't go to college. I just, you know, wanted to be a professional athlete. And when that didn't really pan out and I had some more ambitions in a different direction, I just like kind of jumped all into real estate.
Right. No. So that was property one. Tell everybody mm-hmm. how many properties you're up to now.
So, between me and my four business partners, we have about 50 at the moment. And those are managed, leased, which leased means like an arbitrage or a subleasing situation, and then owned. So yeah.
Gotcha. And, you know, one thing that we'll take a look at here as well, what are the company or companies that the four of you, are involved in? Are there some websites that people can check out?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have multiple different LLCs and entities, but in terms of like business names, we have two. You know, one is Stay Happy Asheville. You can find us at www.stayhappyasheville.com. That's basically like if you're a traveler and you're wanting to book one of our stays, come to one of our properties, you can do so direct, save on fees. It's been a way for us to kind of stay durable through tough markets, tough times. You know, I'm sure we'll touch on Hurricane Helene. And then number two is www.keycollection.io. And so this is a little bit different. So this website is actually geared towards helping people do what I do. So I know it's kind of hard starting off, and, you know, I started off through having a mentor, having, you know, Aiden and Lisa. And so I kind of want to pay it back and play that role, and basically help other people get into the vacation rental space. So yeah.
Gotcha. And, you know, one of the things that I saw when you had sent some information over, you together, your group, you have a goal. Explain what your goal is for your businesses, and along with what you offer, what you hope to really obtain.
Yeah. So we currently are getting done with our 49th and 50th vacation rental. And as I've started growing my business and being in real estate, you know, there's a lot of different things you can get into in real estate, whether it's wholesaling or fix and flipping or long-term rentals or pad split or whatever it is. And so I've realized that like doubling down on the thing that I'm already good at is just going to help kind of create that distance from competition. And so our company goal is to scale from 50 to 500 homes, but we don't want to just do that with any property that we pick up as a management, you know, deal or property that we buy. We want to focus on partnering with people and investors and going out and basically creating the best, the most durable short-term rental products that are going to outperform for years on end. And so, yeah, our focus is to grow a large company, but to also really focus on quality, because in the real estate space, like short-term rentals, like it's extremely hard to run a hospitality business, and it's very important to maintain quality. And so that can be quality of product, quality of upkeep, quality of maintenance, quality of cleaning, quality of guest communications. So yeah, that's kind of our company goal at the moment.
And, you know, again, being young, only being in the business for a couple of years of where you're taking it to the level that you are, there's been competition that have been in the Asheville area for a long time, both in the long-term, short-term vacation, rental. How do you market yourselves to get ahead or, really, This is our stamp of this is what sets us apart. What are you guys using? How do you get your message out there?
So in terms of like setting us apart from the competition, I mean, a lot of investors that have gotten into this space, while they have, you know, increased supply and competition, there's not many people that are willing to double down on the amount of money they're investing into their products, the amount of time they're willing to spend on their design, and just the like leaps of faith in trying new amenities out. And so like, for example, one of our properties, we just recently got done with, you know, $1 million new construction home, 5 bedrooms, 3,500 square feet. We, you know, we had all the bells and whistles, right? Like we made sure that we designed the entire product virtually before we even stepped foot in the home. That way we could curate it absolutely perfectly. But we also, you know, decided to do a virtual reality room, which is like nobody has even thought of doing that in our market. And so like, I almost think of it like if you've ever seen like the food groups, kind of like the food like pyramid that they show you when you go to the doctors, and they're like, you know, first you need to eat, you know, these, and then here's your fibers. And then it's almost like, you know, what's your core product? Like, what is, you know, is it a new construction property? What's the location? Okay. And then, you know, the next tier is like, how many people can it sleep? Does it have a hot tub? Does it have a sauna? And then the next tier is like, that's when you start like getting into the nitty gritty, like, are you doing, you know, a virtual reality room? You know, are you, you know, do you have outdoor amenity spaces to, you know, do fire pits or pickleball courts or whatnot? And so, really just like doubling down on our products and making sure that every product is almost like a portfolio piece for the next one is kind of like our stamp.
Was that a brand, the one that you were just kind of talking about there, was that a brand new build or was it a find and gut?
So brand new. So we're actually focusing on a lot of new construction, and something I'm excited to touch on with you guys is, you know, we have found a lot of success in new construction. And so very recently we've actually partnered with a couple of builders that are going to be focusing on building at cost and becoming business partners on these vacation rental products that we're creating. And so this product that I was just talking to you about, this new listing, it was a new construction home, but the builder had already built it and tried to sell it on the market. And things are a little bit soft right now with Hurricane Helene. And so basically we kind of reached out to him and we were able to form a partnership with him. So we basically formed a partnership with him, came in and basically did the entire upfit of the home. And so yes, this is a new construction home. This is not a, you know, buy, you know, renovate, gut type of situation.
Right. Gotcha. Gotcha. Do you have any, were there any existing homes? Maybe when you, I think the one that you were talking about that you started and you started doing some stuff in there and you still, you know, you'll probably never get rid of that property. And, you know, it, I mean, if you know, most folks, whether it's the nostalgia or what, I mean, it's kind of where it all started and, you're still there, but, how many of them, are like that were either pre-done, you went into the gut, and maybe along with that, if it's one that's not going to be a new construction, what do you look for in a property?
Okay, so there's definitely a couple things to unpackage. I would say like the first handful of properties that were purchased were certainly renovated, you know, gutted, renovated. When it comes to arbitrage, so like taking on leases or management deals, typically in the beginning there was less remodeling just because people already did that or they bought it turnkey or we took the lease on turnkey. But I will say that that property you were talking about that I'm never gonna let go. So like when I first started making some good money and I was looking for a property to purchase, I went into Facebook groups and basically found a property. I went into Facebook groups. I said, hey, does anybody have a property they're looking to sell? And I found a lady whose parents had passed away. Home was sitting vacant for 5 years. And so I go out to take a look at the property and it's beautiful, you know, mountain views. It's a 2-bedroom cottage. But it's like, it needs new floors. The copper plumbing is bursted. Like all the cabinets are destroyed. I mean, it's old B-board. Like it's just like the decks need to be replaced. It's just, it's really rough. But like seeing past that, it it had a ADU that their grandmother was living in. And so what we did was, you know, we negotiated a price, we purchased the property. And so we renovated the two bedroom cottage, but we also renovated the ADU. And so we were able to kind of make it two separate listings on one property. And I think we just refinanced it like probably a couple months ago. And our mortgage is about like $2,500 a month. And the main house is producing, you know, roughly $6,500, $7,000 a month on average in gross income. And the little tiny ADU is producing around $4,000 a month in gross income. So this property is generating between $10,000 and $11,000 a month, like on average in gross income. And our debt, like our mortgage, is only $2,500. Obviously, we still have utilities, we still have supplies, we still have cleaners to pay. But when it's all said and done, this property is cash flowing, you know, on a bad month, $3,000, and on a good month, you know, $7,000 to $8,000. And that's just not something you can get with a long-term rental. And I'm looking at, you know, well, I've got, you know, 300, 310 into it. Maybe I could sell it for 550, 600 if I really wanted to squeeze it. But if I'm going to cash flow, you know, $60,000 to $70,000 a year, I mean, why would I let that go? So when people are looking for properties, I will say one really key thing is like, if there's space for an ADU or an ability to make a second listing, it's just like, as long as you're a good operator, I mean, you could go in and just squeeze another, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 in gross income a month from that second listing. So yeah, that would be a big thing I would recommend for somebody going out trying to get into the space.
Hey folks, and just think about this. That's one property.
That's one
the range,
property.
$3,000 to $8,000 a month. And that's just one of them. He's got 47 others that are already put together and they're finishing up 49 and 50. So keep that in mind. Do your own math on that about what you can actually do. You know, one of the, you talked about how you really got started on the properties, what you were looking for. It's one thing to find something, but then also, and then of course you had your friend Aiden and that one property. But in between the two, and even moving forward, there is a ton of knowledge that some people are going to say, where do I start? Okay, fine. I've found a property. I'd like to do something with it, but I don't know where to start. Who do I ask? Who can I trust? What do I do? Where do I go get money? Okay, so talk a little bit about your journey on how you built. I'm guessing you, one thing that we always use in real estate, your sphere of influence, or anything you've got a sphere of influence. All right. So one of the most important things for any professional to know is that they don't know everything, and they've gotten where they've gotten both from their trials and tribulations and successes, but most of all their failures. And then the folks that you're learning from, sometimes the biggest lessons are from their failures that they tell you about. You and I have a mutual connection there in the Asheville area, and I always tell folks one of the greatest things you learn from him is the stories of his failures, not his successes. So tell us a little bit about what it's been like for you to gain your knowledge, where you went to get it.
So I will say, like, if somebody wants to get into this world and they have like $0 to the name, just go and work for somebody that is doing what you already want to do. And I know like that's cliche and that's what most gurus say, but like at the end of the day, like if somebody has already achieved what you want to achieve, then most likely if you work for them, you're going to learn how to do those exact same things. So like for me, it was, you know, I guess some of it was luck. You know, somebody I grew up playing soccer with, his mom was in the real estate world and she was doing fantastic. But it was also up to me to say, okay, well, I'm young enough and I don't need to make the money at the moment, you know, I'll drop everything and work entirely for free and just learn as much as I can. And it doesn't have to be work for free. You know, you could get an internship or, you know, at a brokerage or firm or, you know, whatever it is. I just knew, like, for me personally, it was like working for free. Like they viewed me differently. They viewed me more as like a partner or somebody that was like there for their success as opposed to just, you know, working hourly. But anyways, I would say find somebody that's already doing it. And if you have $0 to your name, you know, those people might partner with you on the next thing, or, you know, go to your local real estate groups and find people that'll, I mean, the first property I ever bought was a gentleman who went to Carolina Real Estate Investors Association. He sold me a duplex for 50 grand and he owner financed it to me because I was too young to get a loan. And he only asked for 10% down and he gave me 45 days of due diligence to basically get one of the sides rented. And when I got that side rented, I got the tenant to pay me first month's, last month, and security deposit, which I all brought to the closing table for my down payment. So I bought my first property with like $2,500. There's a lot to unpack in terms of like somebody getting started, but it's like, yeah, it's like find somebody that's already doing it and then just continue to make your sphere of influence, like just dial it in, just real estate or whatever it is you want to do.
Now, I swear we may actually have to turn this into a series because we could really talk about this all day, whether it turns into a webinar platform or not, because this really is... Now, and look, let's be real here, okay? I mean, there's a lot of folks, you line a bunch of people up in a room and, you know, is there the box that somebody has to use as a disclaimer that, you know, results aren't typical? But I think it's results aren't typical if you're not willing to put in the work and the time. He was doing this and not even getting paid, okay? I mean, maybe his payment was, you know, the floor to sleep on or at least a room to sleep in this first place, but you also can't put a price tag on knowledge, okay, folks? So this is something that's really good here. And I mean, honestly, again, I can't stress enough that this is a real person sitting here in that's his office that looks like nature there. And he's telling you how he started. He's telling you, you know, what it takes to grow it. And, you know, while we're on that about what it takes to get, you know, something going, I always say, well, there's got to be an objective to it. And I always tell folks, you know, look, whether you're wanting to, you know, invest with your self-directed IRAs, if you know the type of investment stream that you're wanting to go on, you know, what is your why? What is your motivation? So, you know, I don't know if you started by accident doing this. I mean, one thing didn't work out for you, as you already said. You came back, you really didn't have anything going on. So were you kind of the accidental landlord or accidental business person on that? And then did it morph into something where you actually looked and said, well, what is my why? So Kyle, what was your why on staying the course of what is now taking you to where you are now?
So I can definitely tell you the reason I got started and then the reason I'm still going. And the reason I got started was when I was playing soccer in Serbia, Eastern Europe, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. Of course, every person's read Rich Dad Poor Dad before they started. I also read a couple of self-help books, you know, like The Chimp Paradox, just things that talked about real estate and just talked about mindset. And so it had been in my brain that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So like when I came back, it was foreign exchange trading, social media marketing, you know, all the things they teach on Instagram Live. But when I got to catch up with my friend that I played soccer with, Aiden, and he told me he was in real estate, that's where I was like, okay, I'm gonna jump in. Like I'm diving in. Like I know it's real estate. So that was like how I got started. I wouldn't say it was totally accident. It was kind of like a stroke of luck, honestly. But like in terms of like my whys, like I want to build something big. My grandpa built a pretty big company from scratch. He bought an oil line in Virginia when he lived in Florida, moved up and basically started a company from scratch. And so I want to be able to basically like continue like my family legacy of like being an entrepreneur and like building a big company that basically, you know, everybody that works in that company can grow and have dreams and just like be big enough for people to just, you know, do big things. So that's like one of my big whys is to be kind of like my grandpa. He unfortunately passed away before I got serious about business. I was probably still 16, you know, playing soccer, but either way, that's a big why. And then, number two, another why is like, obviously like I want to provide for people. You know, I have a side of my family that, you know, isn't financially as set as they could be. And, you know, they're fine. Like they're, you know, they're living, you know, they got a place to stay. But I would love to be that person to come in and just like you know, take care of them, you know, as they get older. And so, yeah, those are my two big whys, to build something big and then just to provide for a couple of people that are close to me right now.
No, that's wonderful, man. That's really great to hear. And, you know, really kind of moving on from that, or actually keeping on that strain. If someone or a group of folks, if they're looking to set up a business, if they're looking to do what you did, and you used this word just a second ago, and they're looking to be serious about it, then what do they need to know? Really, before, I mean, you know, it's one thing to, hey, we're going to do this. Hey, great. You know, Kaya's story is amazing. Yes, it is. But we're not seeing on here really everything that it took. I mean, we don't have all the time left in this week to really talk about what it took. But, you know, a couple of bullet points that if somebody says, hey, this is my thing, I want to either talk to him or I want to listen to this podcast over and over, what do they need to know to get started and to maintain to be successful?
I mean, I think it's really similar to what I said in terms of finding somebody that's already doing it. I don't know if there's anything like niche you're asking about somebody getting started. But I think from like a broad perspective, like finding somebody that's already doing what you want to do is extremely important.
I know one of the things that I learned from a guy named Bob Swanson back in Asheville, Korea, and this was, 14, 15 years ago. I remember him getting he was the chairman of the new members group. And I remember him getting up in front of the room and saying, you know, if you look around the room, it's all full of investors, but we all do our different thing. We all don't do everything. And so you just hit another word there, the niche. And he was like, you know, find out your niche, find it quickly. Don't have a bunch of niches, because that can use up all your money. And he said, but if you find one, maybe two, and stick to it, and, you know, keep your focus and your funds going to those. He talked about how that is actually something that can build the income, as opposed to in 6 months going and blowing on everything, just trying everything.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think when you're like first starting, you're going to have to do everything to figure out what sticks. And then like once the one thing sticks, then you need to kind of go all in. And like that point when you need to jump, it's kind of hard to like tell somebody when that is, but like, you know, when you start, you don't know what works. So you try everything until one thing works. And when that one thing works, you do only that one thing, because every single time you continue to practice that one thing, you'll get disproportionate leverage on the work that you do on that one thing.
Gotcha. Solid. What are the, you know, everybody knows about the great things that real estate can bring you, maybe after the fact. What are the challenges that you're seeing in real estate right now, if there are any to you?
Yeah, I mean, and it's good that you asked that, because, you know, I just basically said to double down on whatever whatever sticks. And, you know, I live in Asheville. My entire portfolio is in Buncombe County. 99.9% of my portfolio is short-term rentals. I have a long-term rental. And, you know, Hurricane Helene hit us, and I pretty much just like saw red for 6 months and just worked and like to keep my business afloat. And even right now, I mean, you know, revenue's down, you know, in my portfolio around 10 to 15%, and other people's portfolios, you know, as high as 50%. So I will say, like, there are micro and macro booms and busts. So like, for example, Airbnb had the Airbnb bust in like 2022, like right after like COVID, like revenge travel. Like as soon as that died down, we had the Airbnb bust where all of those investors that had poured into the market and tried to scoop up that revenue that was coming in after, you know, COVID restrictions were getting lessened, people started just getting hammered. So like, I will say there's times where, you know, you're working and you could work an entire month, like every single day, Monday through Sunday, and you could lose money that month. So I'll say the challenges of real estate is like there are things that you can't control, you know, like just
good point.
Booms and bust cycles and interest rates. And it's really just like being able to figure out how to grow when you're in those cycles where everyone's fearful and to just stay scrappy. And I know like as you grow, you can't keep doing the little tasks that are $20 an hour tasks, but there are times where you have to just get more scrappy to be able to push through when most people are just like, you know, they don't even know what's going on because they're not spending the time to just dive into the market or even just do the work that needs to be done.
Gotcha. Are you guys looking for, and not to put you on the spot here, if not, but are you guys looking for investors?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are currently looking for investors. You know, the first couple of, so like I said, we're partnered with a couple of builders and we're currently seeking out land and we're going to be building this land entirely at cost. And so these builders are going to have some ownership. Our company is going to have some ownership and we're going to be putting some small skin into those deals. And so, you know, right now we have a Rolodex of investors that are currently working with us. Some of them have IRAs. Some of them just have a lot of cash. Some of them are looking to, you know, reduce their tax burden. And so, yes, we currently have investors. We are welcoming investors to basically invest into these projects that we're doing.
It's good to hear. And you know, what's great is I'll put my business development manager hat on for just a second to say that based on what he's saying right there, folks, is that, you know, if you are at a point in your life, your career, where you can't be the boots on the ground and getting the hands dirty like Kaya is, but you might have an old 401k or you've got an IRA that you can use those funds to invest in, knowing that there's dividends that come back, you can absolutely use your self-directed IRA to make investments in what this is considered a private equity investment. So I tell you, Kyle, this has really been eye-opening. It's been educational on the entire demographic, on your story. And I tell you, if you got time and can take time away from nature again in the future, I think we'd really like to have you back and maybe, you know, talk about maybe more specifics on some things, maybe even bring you in on our webinar platform. But I speak for all the listeners when I say that I really, really appreciate it. I really appreciate your time, taking the time out to spend some time with us today and share that knowledge, and like to be able to have you back.
Absolutely. I'm super grateful. And next time I will certainly not be in nature. I'll make sure that I'm sitting at my desk. And yeah, if people are interested in it and they want me to dive a little bit deeper, I'm happy to show portfolio pieces, you know, revenue examples, returns on investments, and maybe just be a little bit more prepared to just go like and really show people like what these assets are doing in our portfolio.
Fantastic. Well, there's his contact information as well, everyone. And if you are looking to expand or diversify a portfolio that you currently have and want to know more about the self-directed angle and how you can use those retirement dollars to go from investing in Apple to investing in Apple Street, I'd be more than happy to explain how you can use your funds to invest in real estate, be a private money lender, be a hard money lender, or get into private equities investing so that you can invest directly with Kaya in his group. You can always visit us at AmericanIRA.com. Our education library is fantastic out there. everything from our webinars to these podcasts and any of the articles that have just basically been timeless over the years. You can also set up an appointment with me or anyone in the business development office. We'll be more than happy to speak with you. So make sure that you hop online and schedule those. Well, I just want to go ahead and wrap up today by saying again, thank you to Kaya Ebert. Looking forward to seeing where that business is going to continue to go, and looking forward to seeing how Asheville is going to continue to heal as well, as we are a month away from Helene coming in a year ago. And Kaya talked about it, how his business was affected 11 months ago. And so, so many people are have always paid attention to that. And I know that I get questions all the time when folks call in, they want to know how Asheville is doing. So glad to see you forging on. So I tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and let everyone get back to their work day, or start their work day again, wherever or whenever you are listening to us. And we thank you so much again. So once again, from the IRA Cafe, this is Kyle Moody with American IRA. We'll see you next time.
American IRA, LLC, a North Carolina LLC, acts as a third-party administrator for New Vision Trust Company, a state-chartered South Dakota trust company. As a neutral self-directed IRA administrator, American IRA does not recommend or endorse any investments, individuals, or entities, including financial representatives, promoters, or companies. American IRA and the IRA Cafe are not responsible for other statements, representations, or agreements, nor do we evaluate the quality or profitability of any investment. American IRA does not endorse guests on the IRA Cafe podcast. Guest opinions are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of American IRA, its subsidiaries, associates, or custodian. Participation in the podcast is voluntary and no compensation is provided. American IRA is not a fiduciary and cannot offer financial advice. Please consult your CPA or another professional before making financial decisions.